Hey, welcome to James Crowley's Infinite Playlist, the podcast where I try to hear every song that has ever existed, a podcast on the Lughole Network. This week, I'm bringing you guys the second part of my conversation with Nathan Ragland from the Postmodern Art Podcast, where we talk about songs that help you paint a mental image. This was such a great conversation. I'm about to edit it. I'm very excited to listen back to it. And it's a lot of fun. Before I play you guys the audio, let me give you a couple of plugs. First, you can find Nathan's podcast, the Postmodern Art Podcast, wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Those links are all going to be down in the episode description. You can also follow the Postmodern Art Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. His handle is at postmodartpod on both of those platforms. There's also going to be a link in the description to his shop where you can buy his podcast merch. Pride Month is over, but he had some very cool Pride designs up, and those are going to some LGBTQ charities and the profits from those. And that's such a great cause. It's really awesome that he's doing that. So, you know, if you like the t-shirts, if you like his podcast, feel free to get those. You can follow me on all my socials. I'm James P. Crowley on Instagram, TikTok, James P. Crowley 68 on Twitter. The podcast is on Instagram, James Crowley's Infinite Playlist. Follow my newsletter, and let's just get right into it. Here's the rest of my conversation with Nathan. Bye. But anyway, let's move away from death.
Yes, please.
Unless this
please.
Song makes you think of death. Your next pick was Left at London. Was Safety First by Left at London featuring Vera Much. I just need your arms around me. I just need you around me. I hope that you get there. I hope when you get there, I hope that you'll ask about me. I hope you find out about me. Everything you want to find. I hope they can tell you about me. I hope that you have time. I know you need your time. You know I'd never lie, except for when I lie on you in the night. I know it's alright, but you say it's alright.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is the point of the playlist where we get to my sad boy vibes. Now, so this was an artist I wanted to talk about at the beginning. This is Left at London. For those who don't know, she is a indie pop artist who's doing amazing stuff. Has been doing amazing stuff. Like when it comes to the internet, she is someone that I personally look up to when it comes to how she carries herself more than anything else. Cause she just does her own thing. And this song is a great emphasis of that kind of thing, because this is, I'm sure as you listen to this song, you probably noticed that there was a point to where like the song just like shifted or whatnot. Like the first half is just like almost like upbeat, you know, somewhat like upbeat song more than anything else. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of the way to word it. Words are wonderful.
It's kind of romantic and cute.
Yeah, exactly. But then all of a sudden, like it stops, like the music basically just literally stops, and you just hear Nat's voice, Left at London's voice, and like the rising like tension more than anything else with like the little beat, you know, beats or whatnot. Like, you know, I should be patient, I should be kind, you know, like basically, I have actually had her on the podcast as well, and she was talking about how this song is just basically like when that shift happens or whatnot, it's basically like if the drugs wore off like right at that moment. Like the first half is basically like a trip more than anything else, just like reminiscing on the good times and enjoying the kind of stuff that you're going through. But then like the drug, you know, the hit stops or whatnot, and you come down to reality and you realize that everything is just it wasn't what you envisioned it more than anything else. And I feel like the duality of that vision more than anything else, and like the emotion that went into that, gives a good vision for the people's mind of like just a good trip or a good experience that turned sour like way too quickly.
It's a lot of emotions in one very, very short track.
Yes.
And like, I, you know, one of the things that really caught my attention is I do love the vocals. I think the ones that really did catch my eye were Vera Much's.
Yes. She, another person I've also had on the podcast, and her song is actually the outro, her song Parts in Motion is the outro track for my podcast.
Oh, nice.
So. Yes, I was out, like, wonderful person. I love chatting with Vera as much, and like having like their experience talking about music and such. Like, you know, what was it? She, I'm trying to think of the way to word it. Like, she does a wonderful job on this track, like, you know, emphasizing it, because the beautiful thing is, do you want to know why the song is called Safety First?
Why?
The reason why is that there is no reason. It's one of those, like, the like when Nat, this was Nat's beat. She's a wonderful producer, by the way, when it comes to songs. But like when she made it, she called it Safety First for one reason or another. She didn't know why. But Vera Much came in, add those that little opening track or whatnot, and that's more or less why it's still called Safety First.
Oh, that's awesome. I love stuff like that. But yeah, no, and I think that the fact that it goes through so many emotions, and I like songs that at the end where like there's a moment, I like moments of clarity.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was gonna say, if you absolutely love that, then I'm going to highly recommend Left at London's newest debut album that actually got released the other week. Like, she has a brand new album now, debut album called you might want to write this one down, TIAPFYH, which either stands for There Is a Place for You Here or This Is a Protest for Your Heart, because she has both those songs on that album.
Oh, nice.
but no, like the first song alone, called Pills and Good Advice, is a 10-minute song, so it's a long song, but like the emotions and the way that she tackles like certain issues and whatnot, and that there is that moment of clarity in that song as well. So it's like, it's definitely worth a listen. And the entire album as a whole, it's like 30 minutes long. It's absolutely worth listening to, for the, especially for those at home. This is my big shining announcement. Go listen to TIA or TI
Left at London's new album.
TIAPFYH. Let that just look up Left at London. It'll be like the newest thing that she has. There you go.
That's what I'm not gonna remember that name, but I'm gonna look up Left at London and be like, all right, I'm gonna check out. I'm sure it'll be the top of the Apple Music.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is. If not, it should be like right up there. But like, yeah. Seriously, like the way that she tackles like certain issues or whatnot when it comes to like relationships, mental health, she is a major thing when it comes to tackling the issues of like mental health. The second song on that album was The Ballad of Zion, or of Marion Zionchek. Like, that alone is just a major, like, I guess, mental health ballad. But we're getting way too far away. We're going back to but with Safety First, what I love about it is, like, you know, like you said, like that moment of clarity more than anything else. Yeah. And like, for me, like, I love like the final like 30 seconds of that song more than anything else. Like, when it's like really like the climax is like really rising. I should be patient. I should be kind, you know, rising, rising, rising. It gets that last little beat where like the drums come in. And it's like that. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And then you just hear Nat very softly, why did you promise to stay? That hits like a fucking freight train more than anything else. So, yeah.
We're going to roll on into my next pick, which is not hitting like a freight train. This is my moment of levity. My next pick was Slumber Party by Ashnikko. Heart palpitation. She looks like the type to break it. Me and your girlfriend playing dress up in my house.
Ooh.
I'm the Nelly in the party with some rocks to ears. I'm a slave for you, baby, Miss Britney Spears. I'm a Clover, she a Taurus, bring it on for cheers. And I'm sexy like Christina when I dip below. Not a H-Town girl, but I rodeo. Yippee, yippee, kaye, welcome to the show. It's an all-girl party, clothing optional.
Me and your girlfriend playing just...
Which,
This song threw me for a fucking loop, okay?
I like having a curveball in there every now and then.
Look, there's curveballs, and then there's turning around and throwing this in the outfield and telling the runner to go. Like, because I was like, so again, thinking back to your first five songs, where like I was getting like the understanding and the vibe that you're going for. And then this song comes on, and like, does it accomplish the job that we're talking about? Yes. But like, it threw me way off fucking track.
Well, that's kind of well. So here's the other thing too, is I mentioned that I like to have a flow, and I think that if I went from the Death Cab song into the next song,
you're doing great.
I think that if
so go back at you.
So that I think that if I had done the Death Cab song into the next song coming up, it would totally work. I think that, you know, it wouldn't be like a total shock. But there wasn't really another place on my playlist to put this unless I wanted to start with it or end with it, which I didn't want to do either of those. But Ashnikko, this is one of my favorite albums that has come out this year.
I
love Dem a Devil mixtape. It's kind of all over the place.
Like this song, good Lord, man. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I said before, I got the mental image straight up. Basically, just if I put it in a word, yeah. Well, I was going to say lesbian slumber party, but yeah, that worked.
Porn. That's what I said too.
Like, very descriptive. I will give Ashnikko and I will give the people involved with this song like all the credit in the world, but Jesus Christ, I was listening and I was vibing, and then this song came on and I'm like, oh wow.
I think part of this too is just because I spend a lot of time on TikTok, and
okay,
there was a moment in time that like there were a lot of Ashnikko songs that went viral, you know, so I was just kind of sitting there, you know, I've talked about this. I don't know why I feel like I'm getting shy now because I talk about this on stage in front of, you know, but like it makes me think of like dominatrixes, because most of the people I follow on TikTok are like dominatrixes. So like, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like, you know, Ashnikko is just doing like, you know, dominatrix pop.
I mean, basically, I mean, there's no other way I would describe it. I mean, I was just, I'm sorry. Like I said, this song like threw me for a loop when I was listening to it. Like, again, it does its purpose. It makes you like, you get that visualization of, like I said, the lesbian slumber party. Like, that's basically just like, this is my girl now. Fuck that. Like, it does its job very well. So credit to Ashnikko, but wow.
Right after the death song.
Right after the death song.
I figured I could use a
pen. And right after me talking about my...
That's what I, you know...
That's a good way to emphasize it.
You know, things get sad.
We're talking about like... We talk about like corporate America and all this depressing stuff, you know, drowning and death. Yeah, fuck it. I'm gonna fuck your girl.
Yeah, you need something good. But so, anyway, let's roll on into your next pick, which was I Fall Apart by Post Malone.
She told me that I'm not enough, and she left me with a broken heart. She fooled me twice and it's all my fault. She cut too deep, now she left me scarred. Now there's so many thoughts going through my brain, and now I'm taking these shots like it's no. I'm
this song right here goes back to what I try to emphasize before with kind of how a person like get your shots ready, people. The soundscape of this song more than anything else, not just like the instruments that were used in this one, not just the instruments alone, but freaking Post Malone, the way that he delivered this song with that shaky voice or whatnot, like it makes you feel like you're the person that's in this situation more than anything else. Like, you know, I can't live without you. I fall apart. You know, why all this kind of stuff? Like he, like Post Malone is very good with the sad boy vibes. I'll give him that.
Yeah. He's, you know, he really, he's been such a champion of like punk music too in like hip hop. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of this, it's funny listening to this, you know, where this came out in what, 2011 or so, 2016. I don't know why.
I was going to say,
I don't know why I thought 2011. That was like a big brain fart, but like 2016, where like, you know, this kind of reminded me a little bit of like a lot of like the Warped Tour, like emo and pop punk type stuff that I was listening to in like 2011. That's where 2011 came in.
Yeah. From. Yeah. No, I was going to say, there you go. And I was going to say, like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised with that, because in effect of Post Malone's like upbringing himself, like before he was a rapper, he wanted to be part of a rock band. Like that was what he wanted to do more than anything else. So like that kind of vibe resonates with like this song in particular, and like a lot of his like early music and such. And like even some of the music that he put out recently, freaking Circles is like my absolute favorite song from him. Like absolutely like hauntingly gorgeous more than anything else with what he's trying to go for with that.
He has great instrumentals.
Yes.
I really enjoy, you know, I don't always go back and listen to Post Malone, but when I do, I always am kind of blown away by like you said, the soundscapes that, you know, he's able to create, you know, just because they're very vast and they kind of make me think of like a band like The World Is, where like, you know, it's very big sounding.
Yes. I mean, that's the perfect way. Again, it goes back to probably what he was trying to do beforehand, like giving his own little flair to like the rap game more than anything else. And like doing, let's be honest, like people give him crap. He's doing a phenomenal job with that stuff. Like he knows what he's trying to go for and he's emphasizing it and putting it out there.
Absolutely. And so this one was also kind of a breakup sad song.
Yeah. This is a very sorrowful. I got a feeling we have very similar images when it comes to relationships.
In the past, I'm in a good place right now. I can't speak for you, but
good. Stay in that good place. Well, don't worry about me, but you stay in that good place, my good sir.
I'll try. But let's keep on rolling along into my next pick, which is "Fast Car" by Tracy Chapman.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living.
Right after Ashnikko, you know, you go from, you know, a song about lesbian sleepovers to, you know, wanting to get out of your hometown.
Was the slumber party that bad? I mean, no, joking. No, but I mean, like, this song, I mean, this is a great pick on your behalf. I'm surprised I didn't think of this myself, but like, it's a great song. Cause I mean, like, you with Tracy Chapman in this song, like, you could tell, like just by the lyrics alone of like, you know, describing like their hometown and like how badly he wants to get out. And, you know, especially with, again, the tone that is set with the song, just how somber it is. It's like, look, I've had enough of this. I just want to get out because there's nothing here for me. Like, I imagine a lot of people growing up probably have that mentality of like, you know, they're going to be stuck in their hometown for the rest of their life and they don't want to do that. So like this song illustrates that as a good way to connect those people that instantly have that mentality.
Yeah, it makes me think a lot of Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Where they're kind of like the opposite ends of the same story, where it's very much like we're getting out of here, we're pushing to get out of here, life is hard, life is difficult, you know, and Springsteen is triumphant and she's just exhausted. And you know, and I mean, the stories that she tells in this are very, you know, personal, and I don't know if they're necessarily based on her experience, you know, but I think they're things that a lot of people know and think about, where it's just kind of like, you know, I have a fantasy of, you know, getting in my car, taking my girlfriend and like moving to Nebraska, you know, and just like, you know, moving to a very small town with 500 people and, you know, just getting away from everything.
There you go. It's funny, like, we, you know, people might have that fantasy. I actually know someone that I believe actually went forth and like either did it or was close to doing it. There's someone in my podcast network, the Apocalypse Podcast Network, named Christian Carrion. His podcast is Stranger Than Christian. It's literally, he just brings strangers on every single week and just has a normal conversation with them. It's a great podcast and I highly recommend it to everyone that I possibly can. But yeah, he's talked about several times where like he's from Connecticut. He's currently living in Pennsylvania, but there were times where like he and his wife have like just moved back and forth with like Connecticut, Pennsylvania. And I think they talked about at one point, like just packing up everything and moving to Maryland. Like he's literally done that to where he's just like, quit my job, just move, something better.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, it's funny too, just to think of it, like the way that you describe that makes it sound very like fun and casual, like very much like, oh, you know, I'm going to do this. Where like this song, not like that.
No, not at all.
You know, to go back to like the Mountain Goats, they have a series of songs called the Going To series, the most famous of which is actually Going to Georgia. But like the joke of the song, the joke that John Darnielle always says is he's like, well, you know, when people have problems, they always, people like to think like, oh, I'm just gonna get up and move somewhere else, and then that's gonna solve all my problems. And you don't realize that your problems come with you. Which, I mean, I think is kind of the irony of this song too, in a sense, where, you know, it's the idea of I'm gonna get out of here, I'm gonna drive away, but you're still gonna have all sorts of whatever problems Tracy Chapman was having before.
Yeah, it's always like that beautiful romanticization of like that kind of aspect of like independence more than anything else, because Tracy in this song like just basically wants to live their own life at this point, because like, you know, I'm stuck with this crappy job, I'm stuck with you know, dealing with family stuff and, you know, all this burden and stuff like that. Like, if I just get away, things are gonna be great. But that's never always the case. But it's a beautiful visualization for people that might be struggling in that kind of situation to think how easy it is for them to just get up and go.
Absolutely. But sometimes when you leave, when you're feeling hurt, by Johnny Cash.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. what have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know.
Round of applause. That is a great transition. That is a beautiful transition. But yeah, for those that didn't catch that.
So here's something funny. I know that I've spoken about this song on the podcast. I don't know if it's ever been used by anyone. I could be wrong, but I think this might be the first time it's ever like been on someone's playlist.
Well, I'm glad to be the first, because by God, Johnny Cash like gives it his all for this one right here. I mean, for those that don't know the history of this song, this is actually also a cover song as well by Nine Inch Nails. But while the original one is a good one, and obviously like the lyrics are still the same or whatnot, for me, it's Johnny Cash's delivery in this song that helps like really emphasize it more than anything else. Like just basically a person that has given up, like with how, like, you know, at this point he was like what, 82, 72 or something like that.
I forgot how he was very old.
Yeah.
He was but pushing death's door.
Like this, like not just pushing death's door. This was like the last big single of his before he passed away. Like this, you say that in a joking way, but like this was literally him before he pushed death's door. But it's like, you know, you can tell with like his voice or something, like his voice more than anything else, like with how gravelly and how rough it was at points, like to push out these lyrics and stuff. Like this was like as much of him that could come out of it more than anything else. Cause it's like, you know, you could tell with the way that he sung it that he's been through this crap. He's been through the ringer. He's been through the ring of fire and then some with all this stuff. So it's like he's just done. Like you can have my empire of dirt. You know, you can have all this stuff. I you know, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm just gonna hurt. None of it matters. And like that's the main reason why I picked this one over, obviously, the Nine Inch Nails one, because when it comes to visualization more than anything else, like again, Johnny Cash did a great job, like emphasizing, like with his voice alone, taking this to a different pantheon of like how a person can vision it.
I once heard someone compare the two versions where they said, you know, when Trent Reznor sings Hurt, he sounds like a whiny emo kid. And he was very young when he did it. And like, it's still a great song, but like, I see what they mean. You know, he was 22 or something, you know, like where he had no real life experience. And then Johnny Cash is, you know, on his deathbed recording this, and you know, you can hear like the actual pain and the lived experience and all the things that he went through.
Yeah, because you know, I'm we all, at least I hope some of us have at least walked the line, but like we all know, at least at the very least, Johnny's experience, like just, you know, dealing with like his life as a whole and such. And like when we listen to him compared to Trent, like you can tell that there's a different kind of experience, a kind of an age. It's like, you know, like I've been through this, man. I bet if Trent went back and tried to re-record this like today, it probably would connect a lot better. Because he's had more of a life experience now, so like people would probably believe it more.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever would though, because he's also said, you know, this is Johnny Cash's song now.
Hey, you know what? And that's fair, because Johnny Cash took it and made it his like magnum opus before he decided to call it a day.
Besides, like some of the big hits like Ring of Fire or Walk the Line, I feel like this is the one Johnny Cash song that everyone knows.
Yeah. I mean, it was that good. Like, don't get me wrong, you always got to pay respect to the classics and such, but this is honestly like, this is the quintessential Johnny Cash song. Like if you hear nothing else from Johnny Cash, you have to hear this one.
Absolutely. Let's keep on rolling along into my next pick, which was Round Here by Counting Crows.
Maria says she's dying through the door. I hear her crying. Why? I don't know. Round here. something radiates. Maria came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. She says she'd like to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. And she walks along the edge of where the ocean meets the land.
Which I kind of put this one back to back with the Tracy Chapman one, kind of as a self-referential joke, because very early in COVID, I was having a day, not a very good day, and I was feeling sad, and I just went on YouTube and I kept watching live performances of Tracy Chapman doing Fast Car and live performances of Counting Crows doing because I feel like they hit similar-ish emotions.
I mean they certainly do. I was surprised to hear these two, and I was like, how come you didn't pair the Mountain Goat song with this one as well? Like, that would have been like the trifecta right there.
I should have. But no, I like, you know what this song, well, first thing I want to mention, the thing that this song always makes me think of no matter what is there's a song by the Gaslight Anthem called High Lonesome, where the chorus is, Maria came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. I always kind of sort of wished I looked like Elvis, which is referencing the line in the song, Maria came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand, says she'd like to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. You know, and the Gaslight Anthem line probably connects with me a little bit more, because I always sort of relate to songs about wanting to be someone else or someone
right
new.
Right.
But I really think that this song kind of encaptures, sort of in the same way that the Julian Baker song does a little bit, encaptures sort of this sort of what's the word, I don't want to say staleness, but like this feeling of stuckness.
Right. Like, it's one of those, like, you're trying as hard as you can to, like, break away from whatever. But, like, you know, going with this song, like, you feel like you're perpetually stuck no matter what.
Yeah. And, you know, it's about kind of, like, putting up a facade. It kind of makes me think of it. I guess it would make me think of, like, a movie where, you know, you might be in, like, a rough part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but like, you see the one guy that's like in a gang who is like, I'm in a rough part of town, but I'm trying. It's like, Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, that's
he's like the one person that, like, you know, he's in like the kind of rough and tumble crowd, but he needs to like get away from it.
Because he knows that, you know, like in this song, like that there is better. There should be better. You shouldn't be stuck in this whenever you know that you could do better for yourself more than anything else.
Right. And I think that, you know, what's the lead singer's name? Adam Jurvitz? Jurowitz?
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. We'll just go with it.
Don't know how to pronounce his name. But apparently Panic at the Disco covered this. I'm going to find that after this. I'm on the Genius page and I just saw that. So
play the 5-second clip. Here, no, I'm joking.
It's Panic at the Disco. That's going to be what we go out to. Panic at the Disco doing around here, if it exists.
I'm sure it does. I wouldn't be surprised if they covered it.
So curious.
I do want to say with this song, part of, like, going with the Johnny Cash song, it's like I loved Adam's voice for this one, because like it truly accentuates kind of the sorrow, I guess, or like the pain, like the almost feeling like you're perpetually stuck here. Like, he really does a good job of exuding that emotion more than anything else.
Absolutely. It's you know, kind of like, I realize there's a lot of references to my life during COVID throughout this playlist, but kind of like my Backwards Walk, this was another song that I just would play on my guitar a lot, you know, alone in my room. And, you know, it's a fun song to kind of vocalize, just because there's a lot to play with, and there's a lot of emotion, you know, and a lot of feeling.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, if nothing else, like the subject matter alone, like that's gonna be heavy on its own. But like, you know, as we could tell from this list alone, with the songs that we have on there, there's a million different ways to emphasize that corner, that sort of like sorrow and dread.
Absolutely. So. And I mean, I do think that it's one of those things where I think very often I feel like it's much easier to conjure up difficult and sad images when you listen to music than it is necessarily like the exciting ones sometimes.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it just comes down to everyone's sort of experience.
Yeah. Unless it's a lesbian slumber
party. Unless it's a lesbian slumber party. There you go.
But anyway, let's roll on in to your next pick, which was The Black or the Berry by Kendrick Lamar.
Had this song on here just to simply say, at least right off the bat, Kendrick Lamar is probably one of, if not the greatest songwriter, like storytellers in music right now, if not all time, because he is very good with illustrating the picture that he wants to go for and also subverting expectations, if nothing else. Because I'm sure, like, for you or for a lot of people, like, they'll listen to this song and they instantly hear like the anger more than anything else that Kendrick implements, yeah, with like the beat and like, you know, just talking about like all these different situations, you know, and also, but like, you know, you can tell with some of the stuff that he sprinkles throughout the song and such, it's like, there's going to be something coming that we need to anticipate, which I mean, is the major line of "I'm the biggest hypocrite of 2015, which has aged wonderfully.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like, you know, I think that To Pimp a Butterfly, through, you know, you could have picked just about any song from To Pimp a Butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like, even as I was originally compiling mine, I almost used King Kunta, almost used Mortal Man, even that, the album version of I adore, just because like,
absolutely,
it like feels like you are at the live show. Like, it's very well done. I'm pretty sure it's all done in the studio too, which is
that's the beauty of audio engineering for those out there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's all the different stories of different bands and stuff that like made something sound live when they were in the studio in the 70s, but like, you listen to those now and like, you're like, this doesn't necessarily sound live, but that does. Who knows, maybe in 30 years I'll be like, oh yeah, that doesn't sound live. But like, no, I think that The Black or the Berry just kind of, you know, it's one of the best songs on the album, and it holds up incredibly well.
Absolutely,
it holds up very well on its own.
Trust me, this is like, you know, I've said before, I'm a major fan of like Tyler the Creator and such, but like, this is like my number one favorite album of all time, like straight up. But like, it's amazing with what Kendrick does with this song more than anything else. Cause like I said, like, you're listening through and like, again, you're feeling like the rage and the anger from like the heavy beats, the shouting that's like sampled or whatnot. Like, you know, Kendrick talking about all these different situations. And then you get to that part at the end to where like the music, like, you know, it's like being heightened more than anything else, talking about like how proud of a Black person he should be. Oh, I forgot to say, one of the best lines of the entire song is, what was it? I'm blacker than the heart of an Aryan. That line alone is decimating, right, more than anything else. But like, when you're listening to the song, especially when he gets that heightened part, you know, talking about, you know, how proud of a Black man he should be, you know, eating watermelon and chicken, listening to BT because urban support is important, all this different kind of stuff. And then he ends with that line of, or ends a couple lines of, you know, why did I weave when Trayvon Martin was, when Well, Trayvon Martin was shot in the sheet, and then words are wonderful, aren't they? When Trayvon Martin was shot in the streets, but gangbanging make me kill a person blacker than me, hypocrite. Emphasizing that last little bit right there was the punctuation and fucking, like, changes your mentality about the entire song whenever you hear that last little bit, like, emphasized and, like, almost yelled at you. So Kendrick is great when it comes to subverting expectations like that.
He's so great. And I mean, I remember the first time hearing To Pimp a Butterfly when I think it was leaked, or like he released it a day early or something like that, and just kind of being blown away and baffled. You know, I was like, oh, this is, because like I liked Good Kid, Mad City, but like I wasn't entirely like sold on it. And then I was like, oh no, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, absolutely. And it, going back to like the mental image more than anything else, when it comes to especially this song again, like I listen to this and I feel like I'm at a Black Lives Matter rally, like hearing like the frustration of everyone around you, but then like the speakers all of a sudden like, you know, you guys are all hypocrites, like the anger and also like, you know, the confusion more than anything else that like Kendrick is good at emphasizing with a purpose more than anything else was great for this song.
Absolutely. And hopefully there's going to be new Kendrick this year.
I'm hoping so. What was it? He announced
he has
a tour
date. One festival date.
Yeah. What was it, like day in Vegas or something like that? So, I mean, hey, that could be the sign of at least something, because
I mean,
like,
it's a good sign. But it could also just be like, yeah, he's doing this one festival. That's like, who knows?
Hey, you know what? People will still go crazy for that kind of stuff, because Kendrick has that kind of power these days. Oh, absolutely. Anything else,
he's one person that I'm like dying to see live.
Yes,
I regret there it was now like 3 or 4 years ago, whenever Dave Chappelle did like, he did like 10 nights in New York or whatever.
Okay.
And like each night he either had like different comedians opening for him. Like he had a night with like Chris Rock, or like the night I went, it was like all SNL people, like Leslie Jones, Colin Jost, Michael Che, Pete Davidson made a surprise appearance. But some nights he had musicians. So like he did a night with like The Roots, a night with John Mayer, a night with Solange. But there was one night that it just said Dave Chappelle and special guest, and it didn't say who. And I thought about buying tickets to that, because I was like, I want to know who special guest is. And it was Kendrick.
Oh, like, man.
That would have been incredible.
Dang. Yeah. I would have been envious of you if you had gone to that show.
It like looked crazy, and like it was one of the, you know, because it was Chappelle, there were no cell phones, like nutty.
That would be an experience that no one else would ever have.
Exactly. But yeah, so I, you know, I'm sure Chappelle will do shows like that again next time. I want to go to one where he does it with a musician, because I loved seeing him with comics, but I think like seeing him, because basically my understanding with those was Chappelle would open for the musician, because it's hard to go from music to comedy.
Maybe if Weird Al was the musician beforehand.
That's true. If that ends up being one, I'll go.
There you go.
Dave Chappelle and Weird Al.
That's a combo. I just love to see just how well they would mesh together more than anything else.
Or how poorly they would mesh
together. Or how poorly. It'd be an experience.
But anyway, let's keep on rolling along into my next pick, which is Lost in the Flood by Bruce Springsteen. All along,
he must be from the fort, hears the high school girls say. His countryside's burning with wolfmen fairies dressed in drag for homicide. They hit and run, plead sanctuary, neath the holy stone they hide. They're breaking beams and crosses with a spastic's real imperfection. Nuns run bald through Vatican halls, pregnant, pleading immaculate conception. And everybody's wrecked on Main Street from drinking unholy blood. Sticker smiles sweet as Gunner breathes deep, his ankles caked in mud. And I said, hey Gunner, madness quicksand.
Springsteen, he's one of my favorites. He's another just great storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, this is his first album, and it's like an epic, and it's, you know, very, you know, theatrical and very, you know, it makes me think of like West Side Story.
Yeah. I didn't realize this was his first album, so that's like news to me.
Yeah, no, Greetings from Asbury Park. He was like very young when this album came out.
Okay. Wow, really? I guess his voice has just always been like that kind of gravelly.
He's always kind of had that grown up quality to him.
Yeah. But like with this song, I think you emphasized it perfectly by saying that he is a great storyteller, because like this is a story with music behind it more than anything else. Like just talking about like all these people and such.
Yeah, you kind of, you know, you feel like you're watching on a side street as, you know, this kind of, you know, I don't want to say gang war, but it kind of, you know, it makes me think of like two different, like, I don't even want to say like crews, but like two different like
lifestyles.
Not even lifestyles, but just like two different groups of people, where it would be like if like you and your friends are at the bar and then me and my friends come to the bar and start causing trouble. Like there's nothing really different between either of us besides just like we're with different people and my group is causing trouble or something.
Right. I mean, the story that's being told more than anything else is something else.
Yeah, and there's also a little bit of the... But yeah, no, and like you get a little bit of that Vietnam protest song a little bit, where you get like the person that's like, you know, being like, hey, this is all, you know, stupid, you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, because like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's a community or whatnot. Like, why should... You know, is this thing that I think Bruce is trying to go for more than anything else, is like, you know, hey, you know, this person's that person. Like, no, they're all part of the same community that's all trying to be there.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's kind of what's made him, you know, such a beloved singer songwriter. He tries to bring people together. This is really kind of a critique of why people can't, in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know,
or why people, or critiquing people that don't.
There you go. That's probably the better way to word it more than anything else. Yeah. Like, especially, you know, whenever he's talking about, like, especially the scenarios and all this different kind of stuff throughout the entire song, like, it goes back to what I was trying to say, you know, freaking, he is a storyteller that just puts the music with what he was talking about. Cause I can imagine like someone telling this, like at a local bar, or like at a campfire or something like that. Cause like, you know, something that impacted them when they were younger. I can only imagine if Bruce had personally gone through this scenario, if he told me this offhand and there wasn't the song out beforehand, I would believe him.
Oh yeah. And that's, you know, that's always kind of what he feels. He always feels like he's telling the truth, even though he's very honest in the fact that he said that he lies every night.
Yeah, but there you go.
Yeah, you know, very much so, you know, just like very good storyteller, very good at coming up with images.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, let's bring this on home with your last pick, which was Are We Still Friends by Tyler, the Creator.
I can't rock to, I I've been back there and I cannot got to.
A classic.
Absolute classic. I'm saying this right now, Igor, like, there was a lot of love for it. It should have gotten a lot more because it is a quintessential album. It is absolutely amazing from start to finish with how it flows. Tyler the Creator is my personal favorite artist, and he is probably one of the best people out there when it comes to like flow and trying to get a person like in that lived in situation more than anything else, like feeling that scenario. And with Igor in particular, is probably his most personal album that he's ever put out there. And like, you could tell it, especially from the, like this song right here. I put it at the end of my playlist because it's also the end of that album.
Yeah.
And like, it's a good punctuation point to the album as a whole.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll admit, I wasn't crazy about Igor when it first came out. It grew on me a lot. It took a while. Now I love it, but like, it did take a little bit. But what I always think about with this too is I saw Tyler on the Igor tour.
Lucky you.
Oh, it was so insane. I wanted to see him on the Flower Boy tour and didn't get to, but
I just want to see him live. Okay, like the most I've seen is like on YouTube whenever he did like the Camp Flogna, like he did the live stream of it or whatnot. Yeah. It's 2018, one of the best live sets ever. Oh my god,
he's someone that I love tracking down live clips. But you know, it's funny that you mentioned that this is the closing song on the album. It's like a punctuation mark. This was also the song he closed the show with, you know.
Yeah.
Where It was sold out Madison Square Garden, and you know, I was like way up in the rafters, but like someone said, but like at the end he was like, yeah, you know, they didn't think I could sell out the Garden, and we did, so thank you. And it was see you again into Are We Still Friends. And
that's,
you know,
beautiful.
It was just kind of like, it was very communal, just like having everyone singing that chorus together.
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, credit all around, because Tyler's a great producer as well with this kind of stuff. Jack White is actually the guy who's doing the guitar on this song, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
He's credited on the Genius page, so that's
exactly
cool.
So it's one of those, like, you know, the guitar like makes you feel that kind of emotion or whatnot. And this is one of those songs where it's like you think you know what it's going to be about, especially whenever you've gone through that entire experience of just listening to Igor and like his emotions with this entire, you know, love thing or whatnot. You think at the very end, like, especially with, I believe What's Good is the one that precedes this one. Yeah. It's like you hear this song, you're like, okay, he's moving on or whatnot. But then, like, you know, the song gets like the nice and somber, you know, and then it just picks right back up. It's like, nah, I don't want to end the season on a bad episode. Like, that is it shows like that raw emotion that Tyler had with producing this album more than anything else. And it's the best closing track I've ever heard on an album, like straight up. Like, it's a, like I said before, a great punctuation point. And you really like this song is a good encapsulation of a good visualization for this entire album, because it's like, you know, conflicting emotions or whatnot. Yeah. Like, you love this person, but you don't want to love this person, but you don't want to like open yourself up to this person, but you want to like give your life to this person, like all these conflicting things and such. Tyler is great with illustrating that point. He is a wonderful rapper, and I wish he got more love than he did.
I'm glad that like now he has blown up to being a huge rapper, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and the things I would do to have seen Tyler in like the early days, you know, would have been insane. But like, this album as a whole really is kind of, I still think Flower Boy is my favorite, but I think that Igor is very, it's a very interesting album, and I'm really curious how it's going to fit in with whatever he's releasing next week.
Yes, trust me. I already pre-ordered the freaking box set.
Oh, I gotta look that up. I just got a record player, so now I'm like, I'm worried that my bank account is going to suffer.
It's funny that you mentioned that. What was it? On my birthday this past year, I had went to Walmart to get my usual stuff or whatnot, and in the vinyl section or whatnot, there was just Igor just sitting there, and I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna buy it. I don't have a record player, but I have the Igor vinyl.
Well, I have so many records that like I've had just like throughout the years, either like people giving them to me or like, mm-hmm. you know, just like if a band I like is doing something really cool, you know, and like they've just kind of been sitting there, and like it's funny. I just did my setup today, and like the first record I played was a record that a friend of mine gave me for my 13th birthday.
Oh wow. That's
been sitting in my closet for 14 years now.
Dang. That's a cool story if nothing else. Like,
oh,
that,
it's
that.
Very fun. I tweeted it where I was like, when I was 13, my best friend gave me, you know, this record, you know, I haven't been able to play it. It's been sitting there. And then for my birthday this year, my girlfriend gave me a record player. So
nice. Shout out to the girlfriend. Shout out to your girlfriend.
Yeah. I told you I'm in a stable relationship.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear that. And what was I going to say? I was just one last thing before you move on. Well, with Tyler, I just got to say, like, just as a whole, like with how he conveys his music more than anything else, is one of the best out there. He is my number one of like dream guests I'd love to have on the Postmodern Art Podcast. Oh, like yeah. It, like I like not just from a music standpoint, but like, you know, his clothing brand, how he kind of carries himself more than anything else. Like, that's just all stuff I'd love to talk about with him.
Oh yeah,
he's so, just that good.
He's so smart, so intelligent. You know, and I love, you know, I haven't watched some of his more recent interviews, but like, he used to be my favorite person to watch interviews for. You know, he's so funny, very all over the place.
I mean, he's good. He makes it as fun for him as it's supposed to be for everyone else. So like, fuck, that's one thing I love about like a lot of these artists that you can tell are authentic more than anything else. You know, that they try to have as much fun out of a situation, because I can only imagine, like, for someone like Tyler, he probably gets asked like thousands of times a day for like interviews for random things. So I can only imagine like how rough it is. But like, if he can find just that little bit to just make it fun, like, fuck it, he's gonna go for it.
Absolutely. But let's roll on into my last pick, which was Jesus He Knows Me by Genesis. I chose a live version just because I like it a little bit better. But
it's a good pick.
You know, and I mean, it's funny. I kind of did with this what I probably should have done with the Ash Nico song, because it doesn't really fit in very well anywhere else on my playlist. So I stuck it at the end. You know,
I mean, it was a good one that sort of ended on, because like, if there was an image, like the classic televangelist is always a good image,
right? Well,
nothing else.
That's exactly what I think of. You know, is at the end of the day, there's still going to be commercials for shitty televangelists. You know, and I think that kind of everything about this song, from the production to the, you know, lyrics, you know, you do get the sense like, oh, this is a preacher. This is like a glossy, you know, like, what's his last name? Joel Osteen type.
Osteen, yep.
You know,
I was gonna say, I was gonna say, I listened to this song and my first thought is, oh, Jesus has made their own version of Miracle Man by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, kind of. You know, where, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I know a lot of people that were like, oh, you know, I'm a very good, strong Christian that do not practice what they preach.
Oh yeah.
I'm very angry. But like, you know, I like, you know, the kind of snarkiness of this whole thing, where it's just like, oh, hey, you know, Jesus, he knows me, you know, and, you know, do what I say. But, you know, there's a lot of very fun plays on the Christian imagery in this.
Oh, no, absolutely. I wanted to say, like, I love, like, the chorus in particular, like, the one line, you know, yeah, I know Jesus, he, or, yeah, yes, Jesus, he knows me, and he knows I'm right, by the way. It's not just, you know, yeah, he knows me, because, like, technically, Jesus, God, they know everyone if we want to go with religious stuff, but it's like, you know, oh, yeah, I know this guy, just listen to him, he's got you covered, he knows what he's talking about. Like, that's the ultimate, like, cocky, freaking, you know, Joel Osteen, Jimmy Swagger, you know, televangelist, like, just... like taking advantage of like the people that think that they know or leading people to think that, hey, I know everything. You just got to help me fund my private jet.
Exactly.
Wasn't there some some preacher out there that tried to fund like what, 5 private jets or something like that?
I mean, there's so much. And I mean, when I was working for Newsweek, I would write about like televangelists that were like, oh yeah, we got like a PPP loan, you know, for like $3 million, and like they just bought a private jet, and they're like, we didn't use the PPP loan for that. And it's like, well, you chose a really bad time to buy a private jet then. You know,
and I just think when it comes to like visualizations, I think televangelists are one of the easiest people to dunk on with that kind of situation.
And they really are.
Yeah, because they're pieces of shit. Let's just be honest. It's one of those, they take advantage of people who think they have, they take advantage of people that have good faith and make them believe that I know the way, you follow me. When in reality, when it comes to religion, like, you should follow morals more than who's talking about the morals.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's really, I mean, that's what it is in the bridge of the song, where he's like, you know, do what God will take good care of you. Do as I say, don't do as I do. Because he has the verse where he's like, you know, I have my ever loving wife, but she doesn't know about my girlfriend, you know.
Yeah, but like Genesis did a great job with this song, like making it like, again, make it super easy to dunk on the pieces of shit.
Exactly. Genesis are great lyricists, very underrated.
Yes, they are.
I remember hearing the Disturbed cover of Land of Confusion when I was in middle school, and my friend was a huge fan, and he was like, this Disturbed song is awesome. And then I was like, oh, it's a Genesis song. And he's like, Genesis sucks. And I was like, now he would probably backtrack that and would probably think, oh no, this Genesis song rules. But like, you know, when you're in middle school.
I would certainly hope so.
but yeah, those are all the songs. Nathan, thank you for doing this. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I mean, the biggest honorable mention that I'm surprised I didn't put on my list is obviously The Art of Storytelling by Outkast. But I mean, like, but like, long story short, with any of these songs, like, I'm sure, I hope your audience understood at the very least that with all these songs, these are what we interpret when us getting mental images listening to this kind of stuff. For anyone out there, if you get different mental images from different kinds of songs, that's not discrediting us. That's just saying that art has a wonderful way to transcend people and like connect with them on much different basis. So like, you know, you connect with the Mountain Goats with, you know, seeing visuals with their kind of songs. I connect with Tyler, the Creator, with the songs that he and, you know, Kendrick Lamar. Someone else connects with Taylor Swift. Someone else with Panic at Disco. Someone with fucking Baby Shark, for all we know. The long and the short of it is that art, music as a whole, has a way to like transcend everyone. It's a good way to transcend and connect people, and like, people should at the end of the day just enjoy the music that they connect with more than anything else.
Oh, absolutely. No, I totally get that. You know, and like you said, it's all open to anyone, you know, and hopefully people kind of get an idea from the little snippets that they hear in this episode. But, you know, if they don't, or, you know, they seek out the whole song and they're like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, that's fine. But I'm sure, you know, pretty much anyone has some song that does that for them.
Exactly. I mean, again, you know, the one that I didn't emphasize, you know, what was it? Like I said, yeah, there was Outkast's Art of Storytelling. I can tell you right now, there was a personal thing I did with my list where I wanted to limit to like one artist per song on the list or whatnot. Because otherwise, this would just be like 5 songs of Kendrick Lamar and 5 songs of Tyler, the Creator. Let's just be honest.
No, I totally get that. I you know, I try to generally do that with some exceptions, you know, but yeah. No, I totally get that.
That being said, I want to go ahead and put in my application. If you decide to do a Tower of the Creator playlist someday, I would like to be the one to be on that playlist.
Okay, cool. Definitely. Yeah. You know, if there gets to be a point that like Tyler is the, you know, someone that I do a full episode on, I'd be game for it.
I'm down for it. I mean, we're about to have what, his seventh album to this point. If we can't get ten songs each from that kind of playlist, I don't know what's wrong with us. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
This has been a Lughole podcast.